That's the song that plays in his head like poops.
He's like a song.
He's like, I'm a warrior!
Vader's like, I'm feeling kind of itchy right now.
Yeah. Whiskey and sticky and everything comes out.
Yeah, it's
good. All right.
Yeah, it's I know this show started to rub off when I want to say to the wife, I go, let's go get sticky.
Yeah. And she looks at you like, what the
fuck are you talking about? Yeah, exactly.
Official podcast doesn't talk about getting sticky.
Nobody on the official podcast can talk about the things that we talk about.
That's what we're here for, baby.
That's what we're here. Welcome back to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we talk about the best TV show on streaming, Warrior. And today, we're talking about episode 6. I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader is here.
Hell
of nerds. What's up, dude?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about this episode because it's one of my favorite moments.
I'm very much looking forward to
in
it.
This entire season happens in this episode.
I know,
and it is
going to be fantastic.
It's glorious.
To get some hot German girls. tattoos. It's going to be fantastic.
And big tits.
Yeah. Going to get sticky.
Speaking of big tits, yeah, Judas here. Speaking of tattoos and big tits, the Ambassador of Estrogen is here.
Oh, you noticed.
What's up, Jude? How you doing?
I'm great. I can't wait to talk about this episode.
I know. This is going to be glorious. My favorite episode so far.
Why does she talk like Arnold in my head?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Super weird.
Cool. Yeah, you got to think more Euro trip than Arnold.
Yeah, yeah. Vanda Sex! Bring out Fluke and
Did you say Fluke Kachan? Very well.
Hans! Matt the Candace is also here. Welcome, sir.
Yes. So Warrior is famous for having these, like, what's termed bottle episodes every season, where basically the crew leaves San Diego or San Francisco and goes out into the wilds of California or Mexico or someplace and has a little side adventure. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of like a half bottle episode. Yeah. Like, it starts off in San Francisco and then, like, it moves out into, like, the wilds of Nevada or something like that. But it was kind of fun to see, like, okay, like, this is the bottle episode of the season.
Yep.
And it had, like, one of the most memorable sex scenes in the entire series.
You know, I gotta say, I felt like this season's been pretty mild compared to some of the other seasons.
I was complaining to you. I was like, man,
where's all the sex? And then this one was like,
there's no tits or nothing in there. And then they were like, well,
they heard you. God, they heard you, and they were like, just wait.
Young Jun's reaction to everything.
That was fantastic.
That was amazing.
Was just chef's kiss.
I can't feel my body.
This episode was great.
We got to get there, though.
Yeah, we have to get there. Speaking of which, Jude, take it away.
All right, sir. Season 3, Episode 6, A Soft Heart Won't Do You No Favors. The Tongs meet up at the new printing press facility in Longzi territory. My Ling puts doubt into Young Jun's head about Assam, and apparently that's just a thing anybody can do with Young Jun. Lee and Chow wake up on a train bound for Hotlanta. When his cousins greet the train, they start Oregon trailing it to Savannah. When the wagon gets something old-timey crashed or stuck or something, causing the cousins to force Chow to dig out the wheels. Lee defends Chow when the cousins beat him, giving Chow the chance to escape. And when Lee's bitch aunt decides this is as good a place as any for a murder, Chow comes back to save Lee, and oopsie, there's two more dead Lee cousins. Oh shit, Leary combed his hair and put on his fancies. He couldn't be more uncomfortable until he hits the bar and learns what good whiskey tastes like. He and Strickland bond while blackmailing Thayer together, and the Richies at the party find Leary's working man vulgarisms kinda charming. Assam and the Junes arrive at the silver mine to talk to Father June's cokehead connection and get invited to stay and fuck their one scary hooker, where Young June learns he likes to be dominated, and then Assam fucks up their entire deal, getting Father June probably killed. Discuss.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to get the Lee and Chow thing out of the way.
Okay.
It's half this episode. Is
They're the new best friends that anybody can have.
Their little adventure that they have, and then we'll polish up with the...
Happy Jack betrayed them.
Yeah, they get sent on the train.
Yeah, it's literally Midnight Run starring Big Dick and Chow.
I've got a bit of a problem with this storyline.
Really?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I'm like, okay, let's think about this. I'm assuming, paid Happy Jack the bounty, the $15,000 this family gave him.
$500.
Yeah, $15,000 our money, $500 their money.
Just wired it. Over the internet.
Did they give him money to get Big Dick Lee? Because otherwise, Happy Jack is out. because he doesn't have a body to go with the bounty.
So the way that bounties used to work is basically you would wire the money. So like you would turn the money in, the bounty in at your hometown. And then when the bounty is turned into the local sheriff's office or like whatever, the bounty would be released. So
yeah, but Happy Jack drops him off at a drop off your felons here location, and then he receives payment.
Okay. Did we see that happen?
No,
it's just how old-timey things work.
Okay. And then the family, they put him on a train, and they're like,
go
ship him back to Savannah.
A couple more times.
Right. And then the family picks him up. They don't want the bounty. They just want him. And they're going to...
The family?
Yeah. The family put up the bounty.
Yeah. They're the ones that paid it.
They paid the bounty.
Yeah.
Not the state.
No.
The family's the one that placed the bounty on Lee's head, and the state wants him for murder, but they don't have a bounty on him.
Okay. See, this is like, I need more information. I feel like they glossed over this
whole
thing.
It feels a little contrived, right?
He's wanted for murder as a crime.
Right.
But they didn't set a reward.
The family put the bounty on
him. He's just wanted for murder as a criminal. Yeah, the family said, if you bring us this guy for us to murder, we'll give you $500.
Yeah, so basically, Lee, like, after he, like, left Savannah, he was basically, like, outside the jurisdiction of, you know, the authorities. Mm-hmm. So the family had to put a bounty on him to bring him back there so that they could get their justice.
Okay. I
don't know if any of us are 100% correct.
I could have used more from that.
I don't need a lot on that, I guess. So
I was just curious, like, who's got the money? Where's the money? Why is Happy Jack giving his guy away?
I don't look at Lee's family with Ma and her cousins and look at I don't think they'd have.
I don't think they have $15,000
to hand over.
I agree. Well, I'm like, who is this? Do they have? They have a plantation back home?
I think they did. I mean, they owned slaves.
Yeah, but most. A lot of people down south.
I got more
people who had money.
Yeah.
Not just people like you.
Not you poor
you
people.
You can't afford a slave.
I got more of a weird mutant vibe from Judge Dredd family kind of thing.
Living in the hills from them, right?
Hey, Mo, we got this thing over here.
Yeah, they didn't come off as like high society southern rich people.
No.
I agree with you. That's why I'm confused. I'm like, who gave the money? Because these people don't seem like they have that much money.
Much derpy derp.
Especially not if it was like...
They might have just sold a couple acres of land to raise it. Maybe. Or like whatever. Mm. But the thing about Happy Jack is that he wanted to get rid of Lee. Mm. So like, I'm not sure if he would have cared if he'd gotten paid up front, because like he looked at Lee as a threat to not only his business, but also to, his sister-in-law.
Yeah.
So, like, he was just looking.
Niece-in-law.
Well, no, she married his brother, right?
Yeah, sister-in-law. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He kept calling her his niece.
I don't know. It's okay.
His family.
No,
member.
She married his nephew, I think. Anyway, who cares? Matter. Who cares?
Okay, so they get dropped off. Do we know where the train stops? Is it all the way in Atlanta?
I think it's headed for Atlanta.
Or Savannah. But, sorry, Savannah.
I think it's headed for Atlanta. Is and it? Then the one, I think once
halfway?
It gets to Georgia, they stop it and caravan him from there to Savannah.
How long does it take to go from San Francisco to Savannah, Georgia?
Like
on a train.
Like around a week, probably.
They were in that thing for a week?
Probably.
Where was that?
Time works different in the 1800s.
Where was that?
It doesn't matter.
It was like way too glossed over.
I think season eight
of Game of Thrones has traumatized you.
It's like, what? Gendry just, I'm going to. I'll be at the front.
Well, they totally missed out on the opportunity to have Chow and Big Dick be like lethal weapon, you know, like making their way back, you know, across the country.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wanting more from the storyline, because I love the idea of Chow and Big Dick Lee like teaming up together, which is cool as hell. But I need more. If you're gonna do that storyline, like give me the storyline.
It felt very rushed.
It did feel rushed.
Yeah.
It did.
It's like,
we're gonna do this thing, and we're gonna do that thing, and then we just gotta get him back to town. And, it felt very rushed.
The law's not involved at all anymore.
But like, what's interesting is that Chow and Big Bill had like this kind of relationship, and Lee and Chow were always kind of like at odds. And now like during the course of this episode, we see Chow and Big Dick come to an understanding. And now like they're far more, I guess, like understanding of one another.
Yeah.
They're allies now.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a mutual respect for
each other. The enemy of my enemy.
Right. They saved each other's lives. And
But they also learned a little bit about each other's background.
Yeah, for sure. And also Big Dick Lee came off the opiate.
Yes.
So is he going to get headaches now?
Well, that'll happen to anybody when you get put in a
train
prison.
Car for a week.
So he's thoroughly detoxed now.
Yeah. I love that, dude. I love the line from Chow when you first get woken up on the train. He's like, has anybody ever told you you snore like a sick cow? That was hilarious. Yeah, the dialogue between the two is great. It's so good that I wanted more. And I was super disappointed because I felt like this whole thing could have been done. Like, it should have been done justice and, like, kind of fleshed out a little bit more. I feel like they just were like, well, we're going to do something with these two guys for half an episode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. If you're going to do Chow and Big Dick Lee, like, do it all the way. I hope we get more. I hope we get more. I don't know if we are enough.
I think it's kind of just the problem with this kind of a format for a show.
Where you
got 10 episodes and you got like four or five different storylines that you're kind of trying to flesh out. Mm-hmm. One of them's going to get neglected a little bit. Yeah. It's just, there's probably stuff on the cutting room floor that we
that
flesh it out a little bit. I don't know, maybe. Maybe not.
We should also point out, Jude kind of glossed over it in her recap, but Mai Ling.
Apologies.
Yes, Mai Ling proposes to Lee Young.
Was that this episode?
That was last episode. We talked about it last episode.
I sworn it was this episode.
Nope. No, it was last episode.
We talked about it.
Yeah, we did. Because I called him a simp.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you're screwing everything up and you're dragging me down with you. And she's like, here's my boobs. You want to get married? And he's like, okay.
I don't know if you've heard yet, but I'm engaged.
That's in the next episode.
I know. That's just...
So back to Big Dick. So Big Dick Lee just like, did he murder the rest of the family?
Well, right? Chow murdered the aunt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Big Dick Lee murdered the one cousin who was a psychopath, but he was the younger cousin. He was like trying to be like, hey,
the smart one.
Yeah. He's like, this doesn't have to go down like this. And then like,
but he warned the aunt too. He was like, you raised them to get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. But he didn't want to kill the last cousin.
He didn't.
But the last cousin, unfortunately, had to be murdered.
He's brainwashed.
Yeah.
So is that everybody in the Big Dick Lee family?
I think we're done. The people who would come after him.
He doesn't have like an
murder.
Uncle or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, who knows what season four has.
That crazy aunt probably poisoned that uncle years ago.
She was horrible.
She's horrible.
Yeah, she was real bad. What was that, V?
So who knows what happens next episode with the Dick Lee storyline?
I haven't watched
all of us do except for you.
I don't know. Don't give it away.
Damn it, Alex.
Me and the normies haven't caught up yet. So that's it. They run off into the woods. Now, assuming...
Well, they bury, you know, the dead.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we're going to go back to San Francisco and...
Gonna hop a train or something.
Yeah, how they... Oh, man.
Going to hobo it.
The whole next episode is them in the forest holding each other at night.
Yeah. Walking from Savannah, Georgia to San Francisco.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Because they have a year to get home. What are you talking about?
The freeway.
Let's go. Yeah.
If we don't get full-on Oregon Trail at this point, like, come on.
They have to eat each other.
They're just going to reload their last save point and fast travel.
Chow has died of scurvy. Dysentery.
You have run out of supplies.
No.
Your oxen died.
You must now eat your dog.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they're going to get all the way back to San Francisco. I honestly don't even know where this took place. It looks like it's back east, but Jesus Christ.
Peter's dying. What are you doing?
What are you taking a
movie? Why are you laughing?
Are you
so
laughing
hard?
At Oregon Trail?
I don't want to give away the next episode.
Okay, we'll move on.
Well, I think they said that it was Georgia.
Okay, Jesus, that's a really far away, man. Yeah. Jeez, how are they gonna get back? Don't give it away.
I don't know.
You suck.
I'm gonna need you to leave.
I'm dying right now.
All right, real quick, we need to mention the opening of this episode is Mai Ling kind of laying down the law for Young Jun, and there's a little contention there, and Young Jun's like, listen, lady, I might have been born into this, but I'm not. He says something along the lines of like, I'm not so soft as you might think we are.
They're meeting at an ice house, right? And that's gonna be like one of the areas in the Long Z territory where they're going to set up their counterfeiting operation, which they're now partners on. And Young Jun is still very upset that he has to be working with Mai Ling.
Rightfully so.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like he needs to just count his blessings because he could have been dead.
He could have.
Assam saved his ass.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to remember where he comes from.
I guess he can't be like, well, gee, thanks, Mai Ling.
Young Jun being ill-fit for leadership is what got us into this.
True.
He picked a fight with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
And then he was making it rain through the streets of Chinatown. Wasn't going to come back on him. Yeah.
That's true.
He's making bad decision after bad decision and blaming Assam for it.
Mm. Yeah, and Mai Ling is just so much smarter than he is.
Yeah. Well, she's smarter than all of them.
When she's like, listen, Assam is like sweethearting on the only printer press girl that we have.
Yeah.
And have you not noticed? And he's like, who cares? So what?
He's getting a little sticky.
Like, bro, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's going to backfire on you.
Yeah.
100%.
But before we get into the Young June awesome storyline, can we talk a little bit about Leary and Strickland and their whole thing?
The fancy party?
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Remind me what happened.
He looks so handsome.
Oh, yeah. He looks fine.
So he goes to the engagement party for Thayer's daughter. And Thayer is the guy who's running against Buckley in the mayor race.
Yep. He's the
And they
runner
do some
up.
Politicking.
They
and
have some dirt on Thayer.
Oh, man.
And they use it to their advantage. And meanwhile, Leary is at the party just like motherfucking everyone. And all of the Richies are like, and he's something.
I like this guy.
Get that man another whiskey.
The best scene in this episode was when Leary goes up to the bartender and he just orders a whiskey. He's like, what type would you like, sir? And he's like, fucking whiskey.
Do I look like I care?
Yeah. And Strickland's like, give him the 7-year aged one or like whatever. And on Dean Yeager's face when like he takes that
He has
sip,
like a Pulp Fiction moment. Like, yeah. God damn.
That's one $5 milkshake, baby. Yeah, it was a good moment. I was like, oh, is that what real whiskey's supposed to taste like?
But
You mean it doesn't taste like piss-warm Chenga? Yeah.
it's kind of funny watching Strickland teach Leary how to play the Game of Thrones, basically. Mm-hmm. Because Leary's just, like, so uncomfortable about it. But then when he sees, like, how, like, Strickland basically owns Thayer... he's like, I could see how this works.
Leary. And this is another thing that's so brilliant about this show is that I love the character of Leary and I hate Strickland. And now they're teamed up and I don't know what to do about that.
Leary is like he's a sledgehammer, right? Everything is a nail to him. Mm-hmm. Hit it with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And Strickland is like a scalpel. That dude is like precise.
Yeah,
knows
that's
exactly
a good
where to cut. So these two put together is like, it's two completely different ways of getting what they want. And I love watching. Yeah, I love watching the two of them try to like work together. But Strickland's obviously like, bro, you gotta freaking chill a little bit.
Yeah,
let's play this game right.
Well, what's funny is that so every time Leary gets into these situations, he's all about what kind of jobs can you get my men?
Oh Jesus!
Mm-hmm. And what Strickland's trying to do is he's being like, look, there's a longer game to play here where like you can beg these people to hire your men, and then be subservient to them, and they'll always look at you as like you know a thug, or you can learn to play their game, put them in your pocket, and then they answer to you. And so Strickland's kind of showing him with Thayer, like, how that's done.
Yeah.
And Leary's finally starting to realize, is like, okay, obviously what I was doing wasn't working.
Yeah.
And so now I need to learn, like, a new method. And we're seeing an evolution of Leary over the season. And unfortunately, Alex didn't see the next episode. But, you know, Leary definitely is a different man than he was in season 2.
He's becoming a different man. But in the meantime, while he's becoming this different man, he has to figure out how to keep his Irish kinsmen from killing each other or anyone else so that he can complete the metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm. His boys are a bunch of idiots. I'm not going to lie.
And he knows it, too.
They're just a bunch of trigger germs.
Well, that's what he used to be.
Yeah, I know. And it's just, but
like,
it's just,
his broken record line of, like, how many jobs are you going to get for Irish workers?
40.
Like, bro.
Oh, 40? Wow, that's a whole lot.
Yeah, but then we get those people some jobs, and then they fuck it up.
Yep. Yeah, or there's another 40 behind them.
I don't want that job. Yeah. I got to work with all those Chinese over there. Yeah. It's like, come on now.
You should also point out no Penny or Sophie in this episode.
They're gone, dude.
I think I told you guys last week. I finally looked it up, and she's not coming
back. Yeah,
she's in the insane asylum. That's the end of the story.
I hate that for her.
I think that is a brutal storyline.
I hate it.
Maybe she'll come back in season 4.
No.
Hope that she comes back eventually.
With a vengeance.
If she eventually comes back, I want her to just be like the Joker. Like
I want her to be insane. I'm picturing Catelyn Stark after Catelyn Stark is zombified.
Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah.
We never saw that in the show.
Okay? That's a book thing.
You book people need to stop.
No.
Okay.
I will never, first of all.
I am very intrigued by that character.
Vader, there was actually a very interesting. So, first of all, shout out to the gross brunette.
Oh, yeah.
Not a ginger?
Not a ginger. She commented on one of our videos about Warrior. Yeah.
Aww.
And she was like, hi, gross brunette here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hi.
And I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her name, but someone else in the comments said that, like, hey, we never saw the third Mercer sister. What if Gross Brunette is the third Mercer sister?
Fuck off. That's brilliant. But she's supposed to be younger than Sophie, so I don't think so.
Maybe, but, like, they were never very clear as to, like, where that sister was.
Penny had, it was mentioned in the first season, Penny had to take care of her two younger
sisters.
Yeah,
Penny was the oldest. Yeah. Sophie was too old for boarding school.
Right.
So she came to live with Penny, and the youngest one is supposed to be in boarding
school. I'm not buying it.
With the brunette?
Yeah. I love that theory, but I don't think it's true.
Gross brunette's not fitting that.
Yeah, she doesn't fit the, no. She's older than Penny.
Yeah.
So that was but
I've been calling her Not a Ginger for a while now. She's no longer Gross Brunette.
I like Not a Ginger. That's a better term. I like that. I want to go back to the Penny thing. I'm serious, man. Like, if they do bring her back for season four and she gets out of the freaking nut house and she's got money and she's a little crazy.
She's Arkham Asylum.
She's not blonde anymore. She's like white from the trauma.
Yeah. Give me a freaking psychopath.
Are you listening right
now? I want Penny to come back like a Batman villain and just be like team
and
up with
like.
She
still has her fortune, so she's got some power.
Right, yes, exactly. Yeah. She takes the fortune from Buckley. Buckley's done. He fails in this season or the next one. He fails at his mission.
But Buckley ends up dead.
Or something like that, right?
Randomly
and Penny
dead.
Gets the money. She gets out of the insane asylum and she is a straight
Buckley.
Up psycho killer, batshit crazy, vengeance ridden chick.
Yeah.
And she just burns San Francisco down.
She learns kung fu while in the asylum.
I was just going to say, she teams up with Lai and they go on a murder spree.
What about Zing? Zing? Or what's that guy's name from the Fung Heist?
Oh,
Z? Yeah, whatever.
No, Zing. Zing, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is she? I don't know. I want
She's
her
not
to come
team
out.
Up with him.
He's going off
was,
the rails.
Was there like a big fire in San Francisco? Like kind of like a Chicago fire?
Yes,
what if Penny starts it?
I love that for her.
Right?
Give us a Penny journey.
Dude, if Penny comes back in the next season, I want full-on Batman villain. That's my message for the entire season. Yeah. Bring Penny back
her,
as a villain.
Her villain name is Girl Boss.
Yeah.
No. Just Joker. It's just like Martha Wayne from the Batman... Flashpoint.
Hey, what's the next part? Can we get to the German chick?
Yes. Next up, take it away. What happens?
No, go ahead. You do it.
Oh, okay. So Father June has an idea how to get some actual money, not fake nonsense. So he says, hey, I've got these German guys or Russian dudes.
They're German.
He's like, I met these German dudes who run a mine.
These German cokeheads.
Well, they were the sons of a guy who Father June used to do business with back in the day.
In China.
In America.
Okay.
In America, it was back when he was doing railroad work.
Railroad drive. It's a silver mine in, I'm assuming, northern Nevada, because that's where a lot of the silver mines are.
Somewhere.
They go, he's like, hey, listen, we're going to pay them triple the value, because they were pretty straight up with him, right? They told him it was fake money. It's like, hey, this is fake money, but it's good, so it'll pass. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, but make it triple the worth. And they're like, okay, we'll pay triple the price for silver. We'll give you fake money. You give us real silver. Done deal. That was the deal that Father June set up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's the typical counterfeit thing where basically counterfeiters will sell their counterfeit money to like criminal organizations for pennies on the dollar because the money's basically worthless, right?
How do you
we
know?
We heard.
He's like, oh, yeah, that's the typical deal I use for counterfeit money.
I'm an author who has researched this stuff for his books.
How do you think we built this studio? How do you think we came back from the robbery so fast?
Be quiet.
You know, is that why the soundproofing came from Ukraine?
It's like NFTs.
Sure.
1875.
Yeah. NFTs. You're not wrong.
But basically, in order to protect themselves from Mai Ling, they decide to get some real money that they can use to like leverage for like new soldiers and stuff like that by trading their counterfeit money to this silver organization
for something that has actual worth.
For something that has actual value, yeah.
Okay, so they hoof it up to northern Nevada and they find this mining town that's run by these Germans, and these Germans are nuts.
They suck.
Cokeheads.
Yeah.
They're a little crazy. They'll probably kill you in your sleep.
Well, as you know, the more coke you do, the crazier you get.
Yeah, and they're
they have one hooker.
Awesome. And even Young June
is
like, they got one. She's good. Trust me. You do
she
not go
is
back.
Woman enough for that whole town.
You do not go back for seconds with her.
Not unless you have a death wish.
It's like when.
That's a one and done kind of affair.
Here's an example, right? When Young June is at a toys brothel and he's like, let's get some sticky. I'm just getting started tonight,
he's
boys.
He's like, I'm going to do two at a time.
He goes like multiple times a night, right? He's got it going. He does one round with this chick, and he's like,
I need to rest.
I think I broke a rib.
Well, before we get into to the German,
that's the only important part of this.
Why do we have to go anywhere? Let's just go straight there. Yeah.
So Father June insists that Awesome comes with them to act as translator, because basically neither Father June nor Young June really trust Awesome to like leave him alone in charge of like the hopway while they're gone.
Oh, and I love how like Hong wants to come too, and they're somebody's got to run this place while we're gone, and Hong's like.
Me. Yeah. He's all excited.
He's so proud of himself.
Yeah, but he's also kind of like disappointed that he's not cool enough to go with them.
Well, he wants to go on the adventure.
But Awesome is very pissed off that he has to go along with them. So they go up there and Awesome's doing the translation, and the Germans are kind of like giving them some shit because Father June killed a dog of theirs when they were like kids, and they kind of go through this like weird like kind of like. Whose dick is bigger contest, and eventually they decide, like, okay, let's work together. And that leads us to the brothel scene, because as a reward for their new partnership, the head German guy sends their head German prostitute down to entertain all three of them, or
one
of them.
I don't think that's
their
head prostitute. I think that's the one prostitute.
The only woman.
She has defeated all the other prostitutes in town.
Damn.
She's the lone survivor.
Fucking glorious, bro. Glorious.
Yeah, they walk into a room. He's like, yeah, you go first.
She's like, which one am I taking? And he's like, the tiny one.
The tiny one, yeah. So they walk into a room, and the first thing she does is take off her shirt and smack
him in the face.
Yes.
And he walks out. And
all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I'm so into this.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
It's a big difference from the Indian girl that he had.
Oh, yeah. He fell in love. He's like, I want to protect her and love her and cuddle her. And this one's like, whack. Sit on the ground.
No, he was like, I want to protect that Native American girl. I'm going to love her. Yeah. We are in love now. He goes in here and she's like, there is no protection for you. And he's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, like when she mounts him.
Oh, my God.
Like
dude.
The look on his face, he's just like, oh, my God.
So good.
You better make me come.
It is like that scene from Orgasmo. It's exactly.
And he's just doing this the whole time.
Jonathan Tropper watched Orgasmo and wrote this scene.
We see you.
Oh, my
JT,
God.
We see you.
Oh, Jesus. It made up for every time I thought during the season for the past five episodes, I was like, man, this is really kind of tame.
And it was literally 5 minutes before this where I was telling you, it was like,
yeah.
It's like, there's no naked this year.
It's like,
it's really kind of sad.
Where's the Skinamax? Come on, come on. And they were like, just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait.
We're going to give you two boobs and you won't need anything else.
There was enough boobs there to make up for at least four episodes.
Yeah.
She's tatted to Kingdom Come and she's just like, get on the ground, little man.
Lick my boots.
Flugenflammer.
Pull out the Flugenflammer.
I'm getting horny just thinking about it.
Well, we just watched the scene.
I was like, God
damn. I didn't even hear what Kadesh was saying. I was just like, oh.
I got to just sit here for a minute. I can't move. So just
it was glorious. Well Dude, done, everybody. And whoever the actress is that plays that freaking round
she's
of applause.
Awesome.
She's amazing. I love it. The looks that she has when the bartender's like, those three right there. She's like,
oh,
whatever.
Man.
Is she all they got?
Was she not enough?
Fuck you, she might kill me.
Well, what a way to die.
Okay, so things go south, right? So Assam, as always, is the superhero of the show. He finds this young kid who's trying to pickpocket somebody.
Yeah, they go outside.
No, he was trying to steal some food, and he got caught by the militia of the town that the Germans run.
Yeah.
And they were beating the shit out of him. And Assam comes up, and of course, like he does his awesome thing where he's just like,
leave the kid alone.
Yeah, leave the kid alone. And the head German guy has to come out and de-escalate the situation. He's like, I'm really sorry. This is how things are done here, but we don't want to screw anything up. So, like, you know, like, let's just all...
Yeah, you go your way, we'll go ours.
Yeah.
And at this point, the kid had run away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they let him go.
Yeah.
In front of Assam, in the it's part of, like, a facade thing. They were like, we'll let him go this
Everything's
time.
Everything's cool here.
Everything's cool, it's cool, it's cool, it's cool. And then we unfortunately find out...
On their way out of town after the deal.
Yeah, the deal's been done, and
the
San Francisco team, Father June, Young June, and Assam are... packing up, ready to go.
I've had a successful trip.
They're like, good job, everybody. Mm-hmm. Pats on the back.
We didn't fuck it up.
Yeah,
yay!
Great. We're leaving town.
Wait, 1 minute.
Assam sees this poor kid
Caesar's mother.
Mother crying, like, yeah, crying
well, the whole,
over him.
The whole little town is
yeah.
around
They
it.
Killed the kid.
Yeah.
They,
yeah. Killed
the kid. They murdered him.
And they, like,
strung him
displayed
up.
Displayed him yeah. for Made them to example. See on yeah, their way
on,
out.
On purpose, because they wanted to see what they would do, if yeah. they, if they would break the deal or if they would just be compliant about it.
Yeah. And Assam ain't going
to
stand for it.
So these three Chinese men yeah. go right back to town and murder the town.
This shootout scene was glorious.
Uh-huh.
Like, when...
Where the fuck did Father June get that gun?
I don't know, but I love it. Oh my god, dude! Father June comes out like he like it's like
it's got a shotgun.
Father dude. June came out like Big Dick Lee in the zing.
Yeah, when yeah. he's got yeah. the freaking
yeah. Oh fuck yeah,
dude!
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was like I've never like Father June has always been like the mastermind. He's the he's the king of the chess right. pieces, right? Doesn't do much, but he calls the shots.
But
this time he's like, I'm back.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna go out. Yeah.
My only complaint about the whole scene was, where did the shotgun come from?
It was in the wagon.
And is Father June just walking around with, you know, dozens of shotgun shells in his pockets?
Yes.
Is that a shotgun in your pants?
Father June did not want to go back into town. He
yeah.
wanted to just let it slide.
Uh-huh. Right.
And Young June was in his camp. And the minute that Awesome basically starts marching back, Young June and Father June are like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, they arm up and they go after him yeah. to back him up. Father June... I feel like it has been very inconsistent ever since like he's returned
mm-hmm.
because he used to be, I feel like, much smarter than this. But like he was the
well,
leader.
He's letting Young June run the show because
yeah.
this is where we're at in the dynamic of our
no,
relationship.
I feel like Father June would have been like, son, let him go and let's get back in the wagon and get going.
I totally agree. He is inconsistent. But what I agree with Jude is that he's letting his son call the shots,
mm-hmm.
and he's just rolling with it. Like, I agree. He would
Father June's letting Young June call
the yeah. shots.
Yeah.
It's because Young June's in charge
exactly,
now.
Yeah. right? And he's respecting
Father
that
June
role.
Father June is retired.
He's yeah. respecting that role.
He's
not,
left.
Yeah, he's not telling Young June, like, oh, no, we're going to let Assam go and die.
The most Father June is right now, he's playing dad, and he's in an advisory role,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And what was funny is, like, during this entire shootout, where basically Father June's just, like, blowing people away left and right. At a certain point, Young June asked him, was like, how'd you learn to shoot like that? He's like, it's a shotgun. You don't even need both right. eyes open.
He's having the best shootout.
Oh, yeah. He's having a great time. And like he said in the last, season finale of episode, or season two, when the big brawl happened
the
in
riot.
The city, and he was like, it felt good to get freaking back in the fighting zone
yeah.
and, like, you know, blow some people away. And he enjoys the chaos.
And that was when Young June was like, I thought you were dead. And he's like,
I bet you wish I'm not. Yeah, I bet you're glad I'm not. Yeah, so
And we also get to see the mother of the murdered boy come
yeah.
in and help them out.
Oh, shit,
as well.
Yeah, she was
yeah.
brutal.
Well, hey, man, you don't mess with a mom. She
mm-hmm.
will kill everybody.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we get these great scenes of Awesome basically, like, taking on every single German
mm-hmm.
with his fist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was a really good fight scene.
It was great.
I love how everybody in this show has their own fighting style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Young June has his
knife
thing.
Yep.
And, you know, Awesome is just straight up Bruce Lee.
Fisticuffs.
Fist guy, yep. you know.
And Lee Young and Assam have, like, very similar, like, these
yeah.
are,
yeah.
our fists
these
are
our
weapons.
Yeah. You know, and then Hong has his little rope beads.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Oh, he talked to, there's a whole
yeah,
scene
yeah,
of
yeah,
him
yeah.
saying, like, I want this to be my thing.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
the guy with the chain.
Yeah.
Everybody has their thing. And,
yeah.
and everybody, and all the other guys have the hatchets, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's the standard.
That's their deal.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of neat.
They're hatchet
like
men.
It.
Yeah. And then the guys who have the guns have the guns.
I wish yeah. I'd like to have a couple of those hatchets just to hang on the wall.
I'll get you some.
We can do that.
Like some from
I got a chow. I'll get you some.
I want like chow. I want them from chow.
We have an international sword champion coming yeah. in August, and he's going to bring some weapons.
You know what's crazy though is like after this shootout, like the one thing that could equalize a lot of like the tension in Chinatown is if the Hopway had guns, right?
Yeah.
Like guns are like the thing that like the police have, which is what gives them the advantage of the criminals. But if the criminals had guns too, like they could have just picked up all the weapons that the dead Germans dropped and bring them back with them or something.
That brings up a good question. There was something, somebody commented on one of our YouTube channels that, you know, the thing with like the gun versus fist thing, like mm-hmm. there's a suspension of disbelief that you have to be able to understand. Yes, there's going to be kung fu fighting in a world where there's guns. One is obviously
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
That's a terrible. No, I'm just doing
it. That's
a funny song. like, how do you reconcile that in a TV show where, like, if guns exist, why is everybody fighting in the streets with their fists and hatchets?
Yeah, but but if I can knock the gun out of your hand faster than you can bring your gun up, that answers right. your question.
Well, it was also guns were hard to come by back in that time period. Like, they were expensive.
Yeah.
And the city would provide them to the police, whereas, like, if you were a Chinaman in Chinatown, nobody would sell you a gun.
Yeah, but we've seen that Chow does also deal in guns. We saw one episode.
But they were bad guns.
I remember.
They weren't good, but he did say, like, if you want new, they're it's going to cost expensive, you this.
Right? Yeah, they're like $200 a pop if they're brand new. And he said, you wanted the $100 ones. Mm-hmm. Like, these were the cheap ones. And they blew up in the guy's face. So, like, I think there's something there. Like, guns are harder to get to to get a hold of than you might think.
Yeah, and also, apparently, a lot of these guys who have the guns are very bad shots.
Well, yeah. There was no police training. It was, ping, here's your badge.
Hold it this way. Yeah. Put your wrist like that.
I think they just assumed that they most fought in the war.
Handguns are super inaccurate after, 80 feet or some shit?
80?
What? 60 feet?
He doesn't shoot very often.
No, I haven't. I don't.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you have to practice with it. Yeah. You can be super accurate with a pistol if you practice. But most of these people are just thugs. They don't practice. But again, most of the fighting
are also old-timey guns.
Yeah. Most of the fighting is close quarters, too, mm-hmm. which is why you can probably deal with a hatchet and a knife better than you can deal with a gun. There's a suspension of disbelief in this show that you have to kind of go along with it. If you can't do it, then sorry. It's probably not for you. Mm-hmm.
There's no scopes on these guns.
Big Dick Lee.
That's why I'm getting up behind a shotgun pretty soon.
It's because you can't see?
Because I just want to point and shoot.
Yeah, because you're getting old, you can't see.
It's not untrue.
So both things can be true.
So the fight between Awesome and the last German guy was pretty epic.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he comes outside, we discover that Father June took a hit right in the gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got shot.
Got to be a little drama.
Well, yeah.
It ends on a cliff note.
If all three of them had escaped with unscathed, we would have been
would have called bullshit.
Come on.
here's the thing. So young June, who's now reconnected with his dad, this is traumatizing for him. He wants to get someone to help treat the wound. Father June is like, there's no time. Backup from the German guys are going to be here any minute. Mm-hmm. Get me back home. And they're like, all the way to San Francisco? He's like, yes. And so Father June is going to have to survive the trip back to San Francisco in the carriage with, like, an open gun wound. Mm-hmm. We're kind of left at the end of this episode thinking, like, will he survive? Will he survive?
You know, some Chinese wisdom, rub some herbs in there and shove it in the hole, and then he'll be fine.
Smoke some opium and blow it into the hole.
Yeah. A toy needs to be there.
Put some leaves up in that shit. Yeah, put some fucking herbs.
Drink some tea and spit on it.
Did the mom go with them?
No.
She probably should have. She murdered a bunch of those Germans. She probably should have went.
Yeah, when the reinforcements come back there, they're going to head to Chinatown.
Maybe, but this is a bottle episode. So I feel like a lot of the things that are happening in this episode are probably not going to have too many consequences.
It's like they killed all the guys who are in charge. So whoever comes back is going to take over and be like, look at me. I am the captain.
Yeah. No, exactly. I hope they brought home a buttload of extra silver.
Nope.
You don't think they did?
No. Because they had to get out of there too quickly. Silver's heavy, and they had to get Father June.
Time was of the essence.
Yeah. Well, I didn't watch the next episode, so I'm wondering what happened.
You'll find out.
I don't know. I don't feel like they're going to kill Father June like that. Maybe. They could. And then young June could blame Assam. Like, it was your dumbass.
I'm trying to blank face you.
You're trying to poker face me?
Wait till you see what happens. You'll never guess.
Damn you, JT. No. Great cliffhangers. Last episode and this episode, both great cliffhangers. I'm loving it. I always love the bottle episodes for these show.
Great tits to see.
That tattooed German chick was amazing.
It's
not even my type. And I'm like, yeah.
She's my type.
Yeah.
Vader's like, set me around. Yeah. What's your safe word? Flugenflagen.
Flugenheimen.
No safe words.
I wonder if the writer of this episode actually watched Eurotrip and was like, we need something like that in here.
I don't know, dude. Big tatted. I mean, her tattoos were glorious, too. They were awesome. Nice. And when she took that freaking...
I need to find out who she is in real life.
I know. I hate that we watched them so early.
They're not on IMDb yet?
That the IMDb for that episode isn't up yet, so we don't know her information.
Can we get her on the show?
I want to, yeah.
I wouldn't even know what to say to her.
I just,
I love you.
You're really good at playing a German prostitute.
Yeah, that's great.
I hope she's not typecast.
Just tell her she's in charge and let her run the show. Today on the podcast.
Let her do the intro. Yeah. Just sit here and be like, uh-huh.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
I wonder if she's on Cameo.
Yes, mistress.
Viva asked the questions.
Candice is all...
I love it, man. Great job. Everybody over there in Warrior Team, you guys did a great job this episode. Love it.
And shout out to the gross brunette who commented on our video.
Not a ginger.
We love
sorry, we didn't.
You know what?
She has a name. You should like put it underneath there or something when you edit this.
Did she say it was Catherine? Is that the character's name?
I think that's the character's name. I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was the character's name, but it was very nice of her to comment on our video.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that
she has a great scene in the next episode.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She certainly does.
Yeah. That's why I'm mad at you. Because I want to talk about it.
Oh, shit. Well, I mean, we don't have to wait a week. Just give me 30 minutes. I'll watch it right now.
Yeah. 30 minutes.
Just click, 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 click.
I almost rubbed another one out. I'm not going to lie. It's wild.
Jesus Christ, bro. On that note, final thoughts on this episode. Loved it. Loved bottle episodes. I want more. I want more Chow and Big Dick Lee. I felt like this was super rushed. I had a lot of questions about who got the money. Where the family was going, where the train was going. But I understand. It's fine. You know, you got shit to do and storylines to finish up. So
Dominique Mayer, I think, is her name.
Cool.
Dominique?
Dominique.
I love that Dominique. Name.
It's like a Zoolander name.
Dominique.
Dominique.
Yeah.
It's like Dominique likes to dominate.
Please don't alienate her before we even get to interview her.
You can delete that. I don't care.
But I love that.
It's a hot name.
It is a hot name.
It's a very hot name.
I love that the cast and crew are checking out our stuff. I know that happened with C, and it was super flattering and amazing that those guys watched our show. And I had an inkling that it was probably happening again, but we're getting far fewer comments from the cast and crew than we used to. I think it's because the season hasn't really come out yet.
Well, they can't do anything now anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask. Do you guys know what the rule is about having those people on as guests?
They promote their shows at all.
They can do their own personal social medias, but it's not frowned upon, I guess?
I don't think we can.
It's not frowned upon. It's basically like you can't do anything that would help promote.
Yeah.
I think we can have like Tropper on. But I don't think we can talk about any of
the stuff he's working on.
That's nonsense.
Yeah, it sucks.
Ugh.
It'll be over someday.
Whatever. Yeah.
Oh my God. Her Instagram says her name, Dominique Mayer, actress. Just call me Dom.
I like her already. Nice. I like her already.
Not a ginger. You are sassy.
Dominique.
All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for watching. Tune in next week as we cover episode 7, which apparently is a huge episode. So I'm super stoked. Bad. I'm going to be watching it with you folks because I'm going to just wait. I mean, why not?
Yeah. I got to say that episode 7 has so many like holy shit moments. Mm-hmm. It was a really good episode.
Ooh. All right.
Something
all
to look forward
hurry
to.
Up,
say
Alex.
Less. Say less. All right, guys, thanks for watching. Shout out to the pet cast and crew. Shout out to Not a Ginger. Thank you for watching our stuff. Really appreciate it. And shout out to the freaking crazy German chick with the tattoos. She's amazing as well. God dang. That was a great scene. Round of applause across the board. See you next week, guys. Stay salty. Stay sticky.